following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
Thanks again, Duke. Here we are back at the Chili Dippers headquarter. We've got a little bit of a disclaimer to make here. This is a redo. This is a do-over.
Yes. We actually did this pod up in Queensland after we stepped off Royal Pines, and it was a fantastic...
My God, it was the greatest pod of all time. Yep.
And unfortunately, this is just a tribute.
This is just a redo. It was bound to happen. So like we just said, we're back at the Chili Dippers headquarters now, recording this for the second
beautiful
time.
Plus studio. For once the air conditioner's not on, it's not too bad.
So, we're doing this by memory. We played RACV Royal Pines in Queensland a couple of weeks ago. In the Gold Coast, which is...
where was that ranked?
Well, there's two courses technically.
So it's 27 holes, but two courses. Yep, Explain that to me.
Right, so the course is divided up into three lots of nine. There's the gold nine, the green nine, and the blue nine. So we played the gold and green first, which was ranked 38, and then we played the blue nine at the end of that. So technically we've gone from green to blue, which is a second course, which is ranked 69. So both those two combinations are both in the top 100. So we thought it'd be a great idea to actually tick off two top 100 golf courses in the one day, collect two golf balls to put in my little cabinet. And I was actually just about to say we walked the course, but we definitely didn't do that. When you were playing 27 holes, and I don't think there's any way you or me could get through 27 holes.
No. We took a cart. It was 27 holes, and we took a cart. Yes, without it.
Yes. So we played green gold first, which was the better ranking of the two.
All right. Yeah. Yep. The course. First thing I noticed was the drive in. Mm. I used to live up in the Gold Coast and have driven around that course 1,000 times, but we couldn't find out how to get in. You've got to sort of come in somewhere, loop around, then take a bridge back over the road back to the course. So that's that got me to start with, but we found it in the end.
But once you get in there, the establishment's actually like you get that true sense of like a big course, like it's a proper RACV facility.
Big resort.
There was a swimming pool, there was tennis courts, all sort of joined onto the club rooms.
Yep. Really well organised, good setup. I thought it was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much better than when we were at the Sydney one the other day that was a shambles. That's the thing. We pulled up with our clubs, they in the cart for you, tell you what order you're in, all sort of, that sort of thing.
Cart was ready to go, yep.
Yeah. It was busy though, it looked busy. Well, it was busy.
It was busy, yeah.
And because it was busy, there was two other young blokes, they were mid-30s, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mid-30s, that's right.
Yep, and because it looked slow, they said, do you want to join up with us? And we said, yeah, absolutely, we love when that happens. And so, it was two young blokes from Melbourne whose names escaped me. One was a little fella, he may have been a jockey.
Yeah.
And the other was a bigger fella who, he swung it like a wood chopper, basically. hit it well, though.
And the
little fella actually had a really nice swing. Yeah. He was solid as a ripping bloke, so that helps to start with. Me and Luke play together all the time. We get a bit sick of each other. Two new blokes to go around with was excellent. So I enjoyed that part of it.
You think we'd remember their names, but no.
No idea.
I think I've even got one of them on Facebook and still don't know.
No.
I think it was actually his birthday not long ago. I got a notification. So we teamed up with them early from the whole one. Like I said, that's always great.
I thought the course was good. It was in good nick. There was plenty of water.
Lots of water.
But it was difficult.
It was hard, yeah, real tough.
It was really hard. The greens were like cement and they were domed. You couldn't land on them.
Convex.
I struggled. Well, I think we both struggled a bit around. But there was even, I think it was about 7 or 8. I've hit a nice 8-hole iron in.
Onto the green.
Hit about the middle of the green and thought, your beauty, rolls over to the side, gains pace and ends up rolling into the water. You don't hit enough good ones for your good ones to be penalised like that. But beautiful setting, I like the old house, like when you got down some of the greens down the backside there, you can see the back of
really
the three-story
nice
mansions and all that sort of stuff.
Real resorty sort of style, sort of feel about it.
And even for how busy it was, once we got out there, it actually flowed pretty well. In a group of four it should, but it flowed really well. Now what about the two boys there on the 14th?
Geez.
So what's happened was, me and the big wood chopper fella, we're at our bag. We're at the calf there at the bag. We're trying to get. He was fishing around in his bag trying to get something out. And Luke, and the little fella have gone back to the tee, which is sort of behind us, and they've thought they've teed off. So what's happened? The jockey's teed off and yelled at four. The big fella's looked up and gone whack, copped it right in the chest. Dropped him like a stone. I thought, oh, geez, these blokes better be good mates or this will get ugly. But they laughed it off. They were really good.
Yeah, after a while, yeah.
Geez, that would have hurt.
Would have hurt.
That
would have hurt. Would have left a mark.
Did know. Nobody wore that. You don't see too. I've been hit in the leg. I've had, like, you know, ball dribbled three times and just touch you in the leg. You don't see many blokes get whacked like that.
Not from close range.
He got smashed.
Yeah, no, that's happened to me at all, ever.
Because so we played that front 18, as you said, and it was all good. And we sort of thought, will we go on or whatever? But we got those two boys to come and play the extra nine with us. I really enjoyed that sort of separate nine that was, because it was over the road.
And a little bit different,
we go through a tunnel or something.
Through a tunnel at the back.
And yeah, I thought that felt like a course on its own sort of thing, and it probably was. And I really enjoyed that nine a lot better. I thought it was a bit more better set up. It seemed to not as open. If anything, the other course was very open and sort of flattish. But yeah, that other back nine, except for the par three with the water,
over
how far
water.
Was that about?
It wasn't overly long, about 150 to the pin.
Yeah, to the pin. But I reckon the water carry was probably only 130.
Mm.
And I didn't get there with three different clubs. I don't think I didn't get there with a seven. I didn't get there with a six. And then I didn't get there with a five. And then I got there with the fourth ball off the tee, but a five again. Yeah, so lucky. That's one where we're lucky where we were playing
Stableford,
because I could wipe that. But it wasn't that hard. I made it a lot harder than it was.
Yeah, well,
so that would have been whole. So 18, 19, 20, 23 or 4 for the year. I was struggling with fatigue.
I actually thought 27 in a cart wouldn't be that difficult, but it actually was pretty taxing. Wasn't the back nine was pretty tough.
When you hit it as much as we did on that day, if you had 72, it wouldn't have been that hard. When you have a 92, it's a bit harder.
That's the thing, those boys, they didn't pay for the back nine, remember? They were actually going to go home.
They snuck on, they
were. Yeah, we just said, come on, they were doing, they weren't too sure about it.
Well, the jockey had the free, he'd organised it with, like, he'd a big RACV tour. He was staying at the resort and whatever and all that. So, I don't think we even seen anyone on that back nine, did we?
No, we had
the run
ourselves.
Of the show, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely,
so
yeah.
Good. But, so you'd play there again.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't cheap.
It wasn't cheap and all that stuff. But it was well organised, and it is right in the middle of the Gold Coast, which is a great place. Let's talk about the Gold Coast for a minute. How good is it up there?
Oh, magnificent. Just the weather. Like, we're up there,
did we see a cloud?
Nah.
It's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Always
would
is.
On the way, we just had a little look at Palm Beach there.
Just
beautiful. Clear white sand, beautiful water.
No one on the beach.
Everyone in Tasmania just not go there? Why would you live in Tasmania when the Gold Coast exists? It's outrageous to me.
It is. And even just the dining, like where we stop on the way back, or the collective.
There was, there's four or five restaurants.
Yeah.
And they're just sort of hole-in-the-wall style restaurants, all completely different. There was an Italian one, a French one, a very Australian one, whatever. So five different restaurants. All in a big sort of warehouse style
Sort of indoor-outdoor sort of area.
Really great setup.
With a bar in the middle, so the bar was separate to the mall. Mm-hmm.
The one menu?
Yeah, well, one menu, but the one menu had a different
all
menu
five,
for each.
Five restaurants in
but
it.
You could order your entree from one, your main from other, your dessert from other, and you just paid a $3 cover charge to have the way to go up to each thing.
Which is nothing. $3 to have five restaurants in the one space. Yeah, I love that place.
Beautiful. Yeah, fantastic.
I had the chicken. Always have the chicken, but it was good. What do you have?
I can't remember now.
It was good though, wasn't it?
The thing is, we drove past the night before, and someone gave us the tip, and we just thought, we'll just drop on the way back. We'll stop in there for without a booking, you don't get in that place.
No, I didn't get in, but I'd recommend the collective. And then, what did we do after the collective?
Oh, we went to the cinema.
Seen Baby Driver.
Baby Driver.
Now, look, it's probably been out a little bit by now, but if you haven't caught it. Look, I thought it was very good and probably the 7.5, 8-ish out of 10, but I think Luke watched it a bit more than
excellent.
Me.
I really, really enjoyed it. I just thought it was just really well done, really cool. I love the main actor. He's great. He's and tough to find someone that could do it as good as him. But
it's just a little bit different, wasn't it?
Absolutely was, yeah.
I liked John Hamm in it.
Yeah.
Again, he was probably playing out of what he's normally cast as.
Yeah, absolutely.
One
of Jamie Foxx's better roles, I thought. Thought he was good in it.
Yeah, oh, look, they all were. As I said, I really liked it. But, you clearly liked it more, which is fine. But And so that made it a ripping. We had a ripping day. It was all went well. Yeah, beach, golf, dinner, movie. That's I'll do that all day every day.
Yeah, and then old mate after the round went to have a beer in the club rooms.
Oh, yeah,
we went and had showers because we had a bit of a drive back. So we went after the round.
Because we're going out for dinner and a movie. Yeah, we had a shower.
So we went and had a shower, and then we walked into
the beer garden,
and old mate was standing there. Said g'day to him. And he just gave me the old "hey, go, mate," and walked past. And I was thinking that's a bit weird. And then he took a second look, and I sat down on the table with him. Then he realised who I was sitting to just play 27 holes of golf with him, and didn't recognise me as I walked in without me golf hat.
I walked in before Luke, and little similar happened to me. As he was walking towards me, I had to do a second take, but I did recognise. But the thing, it's hats.
Yeah, he looked different too. Yeah, he had glasses on, and
you play 27 holes with a guy with a hat on, and then see him in a different shirt without a hat.
Mm.
And that's what happened to him to you. But but yeah, that was weird. That was weird. You'd recognise the bloke, but the pro shop afterwards and all that, and the little cafe and restaurant and bar at Royal Pines, tip top.
Yeah, it was unreal. Yeah, really good. Yep.
Now, Luke, I've got a few questions for you. Again, as we've probably established, I'm probably the more casual and laid back of the pair, and you're probably a bit more fastidious and official than my thing. So before I met you, I used to play a fair bit of golf myself, and these things happened to me, and I never quite knew what happened. So firstly, I was playing at Gales, which is in Queensland, with a bloke named Weirdo. Brett Morrissey, I've just remembered his name. Shout out to you, Brett. I've smashed a drive down the right-hand edge, just rolled off the fairway a little bit. As we're walking towards it, we're about 50 or 60 metres away, we could see it there, a cocky has gone and picked me ball up and just walked forward with it. I don't know if it thought it was a potato or whatever. Picked it up, walked forward, I reckon 20 or 30
metres. Potato.
I thought it was a potato.
Cockies love potatoes.
It even walked it onto the fairway and forward, say, 20 metres. Dropped it because it realised it wasn't a potato and flew off.
Disappointed cockatoo.
But a happy Dave Ralston. Am I allowed to play that from where the cocky left it?
Oh, jeez. If you're playing with me all day, yep. No matter what, you're playing that.
What if I vomit Sandy Clump with a couple of old fuddy duddies?
Oh, jeez. My guess would be no, you couldn't. You'd have to put it back from where it originally was.
You're probably right. All right. If anyone knows the answer to that, please email us, all right? Now, the second one, you're in a bunker, your ball's in, you can't ground your club. So basically the head of your club isn't allowed to touch the sand, right?
Yep, till after, yep.
Right? So you've hit your shot out of the bunker and you've hit it across the green. So you've gone and grabbed your bag and walked through the bunker, tripped over, and all your clubs have fallen out and hit the sand, all club heads. So your 14 clubs, do you get a two-shot penalty for every single club?
Did you say this is stuff that's happened?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Oh, God.
So all 14 clubs have hit the sand.
Yep.
Is that a 28 shot penalty?
Oh, God, I hope so. And it should be.
Yes, it should be.
It should be for every club. Yep. I'm going with yep.
All right, then. And the other
one. So you don't know the answers to these?
No, I don't know. I wouldn't ask the question if I knew. No. The other one is, this isn't me.
So we're not educating anybody.
I thought
this segment was.
I thought it was you educating us.
Is it a segment?
The other one, I used to play golf with a bloke I used to live with named Mouse Wallers, and he was only an average type golfer. Shout out to Mouse. But he was a serial hit the ball in your practice swing swinger.
Yeah.
So it was genuine practice swings, but for some reason he would practice swing incredibly close to where his ball was, and he'd just nip the edge of it. Is that go back and get it? Is that what's the go there?
I don't want to say I know the answer because I don't know any of this sort of stuff, but I know, like, if it's on the tee, obviously that's different.
So
on the tee, it's only a shot if you're intending to hit the ball.
All right, because I was even going to ask that. Sometimes in your setup, when you just put the club behind the ball.
That you're allowed to do. You can re-put, yep, so you can hit the ball.
But he'd do it on fairways, wedges. He might even do it putting.
Yeah, and I think they're all Canada strokes.
They're strokes,
yeah, they're strokes.
They?
If the ball moves, that's a stroke out.
Mouse's handicap's just gone out a fair few shots because he's hit it a lot more than you should have.
And look, just so we know, anyone out there who's listening to this, don't take this to the course next Saturday and plead gospel because...
You know the rules. Please send them into us.
Because we don't know. But yeah, that I'd be more confident with that answer.
All right. Oh, well, that's good. Well, we've got a little bit out of it. Well, thanks for that.
Okay, it's about that time of the podcast where we start to go to the listeners' questions.
My favourite segment.
Welcome to Question Time.
Only segment. Today's questions come in from a local lad who we play a bit of golf with. His name is Eon Scott.
Good golfer, Eon.
Refer to him as E. E would like to know, a couple of serious questions. He would like to know what is on the top of our bucket list of courses to play.
Firstly, he is a pretty serious cat, Eon.
Yeah, he is.
So that's good that he's acting serious. We will take this real serious for you, Eon. What's he want? Our bucket list. What golf course we want to play?
Yeah, I'm assuming you mean. We'll start with in the world. Any course.
Look, the obvious one. Well, the obvious two are St Andrews and Augusta. For me, it is Augusta. You see it on the telly. You grow up there, and part of it is too that you just can't get on. You actually can get on St Andrews. They tell me. You put in a ballot, you don't sing a ballad, and you can play there and actually know people, but apparently Augusta, you just can't get on unless you're whoever sort of thing. But so that'd be the one. If I could have a round there at Augusta, that'd do me. That'd be the one bucket list for me. Yourself?
Yeah, I think I would run with probably Pebble Beach. Again, I like the ocean. I like that sort of stuff. And it's
that got the famous 17th with is that the Island Green 17th one?
Island or sort of... ocean edge sort of...
Oh, no, the genuine island one.
Oh, no, you're thinking of the one in Orlando, which is TPC Sawgrass, which I nearly did play when I was in Orlando, but never got there.
That is the one I was thinking of, yeah.
I think Pebble Beach would be... I think it's $500 a round to get on Pebble Beach, and I think they have some at tee off every 8 minutes. You can barely get on it at that sort of price.
Wowee. Speaking of... While we're in America and speaking of golf, not that it's the course there, and I've played it, and I know you want to... The golf driving range in Las Vegas.
Top Golf.
Now I've played Top. You haven't played it, have you?
No, that is killing me.
Yeah, I know. Especially it kills me. Top Golf is a great day. If you're ever in Vegas looking for something to do, fill in the afternoon. You don't even have to be into golf. It's lounge chairs, swimming pools,
bars, sports,
drinks,
TVs.
Look, and the best waitresses I've ever seen in my life. And the golf is fantastic. Three or four levels, and it's all automated. You're genuinely hitting a ball out into a fairway, but you're hitting onto an electronic field and it scores. So you can set up, okay, we're aiming for the red circle that might be 150 metres away. You'll have a shot and it'll give you a score. And then you can go for the blue circle that's 200 metres away or the other way. And it's brilliant. You're playing for time. You don't play per ball. So it doesn't matter if there's 1, 2, 4, or 10 of you there in your little tee area. It's just one fee per hour sort of thing. It's great value and brilliant. So I think they're building one on the Gold Coast.
I was just about to say, the one's getting built out near the theme park. So that will be, as soon as that's complete.
You'll be able to tick that off your bucket list. But so for the American courses, we've got the two there that we've mentioned, but Topgolf is great value.
What about if we're going to, if we expand it to...
We've done the world. Where you expand it to the moon?
just public courses in Australia.
Public courses in Australia. Oh, public. So that new one at Mansfield isn't public?
No, ultra private. Cathedral Lodge.
And again, maybe because of the whole trip aspect of it? Is that a word?
Yep, close enough.
trip over to Perth. There's those two or three in the corner of Perth.
Joondalup.
Is there a Stonecutters or a...
No, Stonecutters is...
No, The Cut.
The Cut.
The Cut, yeah. I knew there was another one with a cool
probably
name.
Probably my favourite name for a golf course.
Cool name. But yeah, so those two or three that are in the top 10 over in Perth, because it'd be a great trip over. Perth, fantastic. So yeah, probably those ones there yourself.
Yeah, same. Joondalup's very... The coast actually was pretty high on mine.
Oh, was it?
Not highly ranked, but I've just seen photos of it and we just ticked that off recently. Right. So,
well, we hope Joondalup. That has helped you out there.
He's got another question. He wants to know the standard question, what's in your bag?
Oh, that's funny because I actually nearly play out of two bags. I've got my bag in New Zealand and then Luke's secondary bag here in Australia. What's in my bag? Look, an old set of Callaways. Mm-hmm. I've got a 10 or 12 year old set of Callaways that were very good in their day and have held up great. I've got a Chinese fake putter.
Yeah, you do too.
Yeah, right. Tailor-made fake Chinese putter.
Yep.
And I'm currently hitting an Adams driver, which my driver changes all the time. My Adams driver isn't as good as the Lent, the Borough driver I get off Luke. What's the one I use off
just
you?
Just a burner, TaylorMade burner.
Yeah, that TaylorMade burner is heaps better than my brand new Adams driver. And I've got, I think I've got a ladies three wood. I think it's an Adams ladies three wood or fairway wood that I hit. And I've got a Max Fly, a dodgy old Max Fly hybrid that I hit because I can't hit a 3-iron. So that's my clubs. I can guarantee there's a 3 or 4 year old muesli bar somewhere in my bag.
Of Mars bar wrappers.
There'd be some Mars bar wrappers, an old muesli bar, 600 broken tees because I don't throw tees out and I keep them all. Only half a dozen old balls and probably half a dozen good balls, but not in real good nick. That's probably my bag. Yourself?
I'm running some Titleist AP2s and Titleist drivers, but I probably what I don't have is probably golf balls. This probably wouldn't be me. And I definitely don't have any tees. I put 4 or 5 tees in my pocket at the start of the round. If they're still in my pocket at the end of the day, I get upstairs, go to get changed at the end of the day, and they go on my bedside dresser. So there's more tees there than in my golf bag.
I reckon I finish around with more tees than I started every time. I'm a tee collector.
Ooh.
And that's the other thing. I have a dodgy little black hat in my bag. It's a spare hat that I never wear and all that. For some reason, I just won't throw it out and I keep it in my bag.
Ah, yes. Actually, that reminds me. I keep a couple of things in there for emergencies as well. I keep a rain jacket rolled up. I keep some sunscreen, lip conditioner and talcum powder because you never know when that's going to come in handy out in the golf course when you get to about the 12th hole. My clubs. Now, my clubs are fairly basic other than I have to get them extended because the first time I went to get some clubs, the guy went to measure me up at Drummond Golf in Shepparton and put me up against the wall and he didn't hold back. He just went, holy shit. He said, do you realise how short your arms are?
Because I didn't realise T-Rexes played golf.
And I said, nah. I said, this boy doesn't know his tournament. Let's go. So I went to Melbourne, said the same thing. I need some clubs. Just measure you up, buddy.
Is that why you haven't blocked a shot playing basketball for 12 years?
Up against the wall, he said the same thing. Has anyone ever told you how short your arms were? And I said, oh. I said, only one guy.
And he was a professional golf measurer upper.
Yep. So he said, there's only one set of clubs in this whole place, I can say. So now I've got to get all my clubs lengthened.
You'd have to get your grip smallened as well because you've got tiny little hands. Is that a factor as well?
No, I actually get them. I get them thickened. Oh, I put paper. No, I do. I put papers.
Oh, you put a paper in there. Yeah, so you obviously can't fully grip around them. It'd be like, yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. All right, Aeon. Well, there you go, mate. I hope we've answered your questions. If anyone else wants to send some in, remember the email address is thechilidippers@gmail.com. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode.
Royal Pines done.
Well, in the books. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
So,
bye.